We are up to the final Seif in Siman Tov Kuf Yudalet. There's quite a few things to discuss, and that really does Siman Tov Kuf Tezov, which is even a greater sugya. So the Aloch in Seif Yud Aleph, page Kuf Lamed Hei, is as follows. Hamadlik Neir Shal Yom Tov. Now we are addressing a new topic, which is the mitzvahs hadloka of Neir Shal Yom Tov. So there is an independently standing mitzvah of lighting Yom Tov candles. And that's what we're addressing over here. A mitzvah, a rabbinical mitzvah of lighting the candles on Yom Tov. Fairly similar to the mitzvah of Hadlok on Shabbos. Hadlok is Neir Shal Shabbos. These are a madlik Neir Shal Yom Tov. Somebody who lights the Neir Shal Yom Tov, Tzorich Levarich, he must recite the following barucha: Hasher kiddushonu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sanctified us by mitzvos, with all his mitzvos, with tzivon, has instructed us lehadlik to. Oh, good evening. Wow, I love this background. Wow, check it out.
Good evening. Where are you, Rabbi? In Wales?
Yes, Shir tonight is in Wales. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's brilliant. Where is this background? I'm getting sorted out the background. I'm looking at it. Oh, French Alps. Very good. Very good. It's very impressive. Thank you very much for this beautiful. Very good. Yeah, it's an artificial background and I'm actually enjoying it very much. Let me just go. Pardon?
Can we have some sunshine background?
Okay, tomorrow's going to be the beach. Yeah. Okay, very good, very nice. Okay, so as we were saying, Hamadlik Neir Shal Yom Tov, somebody who lights the candles on Yom Tov, there's a mitzvah, the Rabbonon, which again, it's a new topic now, just see if you'd Aleph. Tzorech Levarich, you must say the following, Boruch Hashem, Kedushonu, Mitzvah, Zavet, Simon, Lehadlik Neir Shal Yom Tov. That is the mitzvah, and that is the Boruch. Seif Kod Memches in the Mishnah Berurah says as follows. The lighting of Yom Tov candles is also a mitzvah, rabbinical one, k'moy b'Shabbos, like on Shabbos. V'im chal b'Shabbos, and if it falls on Shabbos, if Yom Tov falls on Friday night, Oima, he will say Shal Shabbos v'Shal Yom Tov, which I must say, and we're so used to it, we don't think about it, but there's an element of chiddush in it. What's the element of chiddush? I'm even before that, quite amratzish. No, I'm just saying that we are so used to it, we don't question it at all. But when Friday night, when Yom Tov falls on Friday night, you will light candles and you will say, V'oimer shal Shabbos v'shal Yom Tov. It might be self-understood, but I maybe a bit of a point that really we would have assumed perhaps that it's two separate mitzvahs. And you light two sets of candles, one for Shabbos and one for Yom Tov. No, you can actually light, you must light one set of candles, which both is the Shabbos and Yom Tov. But really it should be two mitzvahs.
One light, two sets?
Pardon? No, you can't. It's one mitzvah. It becomes one mitzvah and you make one bracha. If you make two brachas, you'll be bracha levatole. We're so used to it, we don't think about it, but there is maybe an element of chiddush in it.
That said, you only mentioned one of the two in your bracha.
But are you yotze or not? That's an interesting question. I remember discussing that. I remember seeing the discussion. I forgot what the... there's discussion over here. Yeah, let's attack address the point over here, and he says, you're not Yotze.
You're not Yotze.
You must make, if you don't say Yom Tov.
Would you just say Yom Tov in the second bracha, or you'd say both? In Shokhala
Haskir as Yom Tov, if you only mention Shabbos, then, you can't light another one. But.
It's kind of a related question to why on Shabbos, why you say Yom Tov Shmoneh Esrei Shabbos Insertion.
It's connected. It might be connected, yeah.
Shabbos Shmoneh Esrei Yom Tov Insertion. Why
Yeah, so Lemaise Rabbeinu, what they seem to be saying, the poskim of in 43, which is followed in page 63, they taka say, you're not yoitze if you fail to mention one of them, and you should taka make up to another bracha. So how that works with regards to Friday night, if it's Shabbos, that's going to become a bit more of a challenge, but... Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Right, Lemaise, right, so that's just to show that it's definitely two mitzvahs which are merged into one. Now, I want to just mention one very, very famous discussion which the poskim discuss, which famously the Prisha mentions his mother. It's one of the very few places that poskim mention their mothers. The Prisha's mother, the Prisha, which is one of the Perushim on the tour, he quotes his mother's psak. Is that interesting? So anybody who needs any feminist inclinations... Yeah. Here we've got a preacher quoting his mother. And as follows. Yeah, that's true as well. Yeah. So Lemaise said the question as follows. On what's the purpose of Hadlokas Neir? Why do we have candles? Yes, Shalom Bais. And it's Oynik Shabbos and Oynik Yom Tov. Now, obviously, that when would be the most appropriate time to have this light being lit? Yeah, of course, by the meal. Just prior to the Suda, that's when it would make the most sense. Now, obviously, when it comes to Shabbos, we can't do that. Obviously, because it's an Issa D'Oraisa of lighting a candle. So what we do, obviously, we light the candles long before Shabbos, and if a person fails to do so, obviously he can't light later, and whatever. The question is, what about Yom Tov? Because on Yom Tov, we may light a candle. We cook, right? We're allowed to light, and we've discussed that previously. Havora and kindling that is not an issa at all. So when is the best time to light the Yom Tov candle?
Being
become very good. That's another discussion. I'm going to go there soon in a minute. I'm going to go there too as well. So that's why many people, many families have the minig to light just prior to the Suda when it's Yom, obviously on weekday, but Yom Tov on weekday, they will light just before the meal. And that is something which is very established. I'm fully aware that there are people who, there are women who don't do that. And the reason why they don't is because of a loy plug, because we don't differentiate between, you know, it's confusing perhaps for some to have the Shabbos candle being lit at different times than the Yom Tov candle, and therefore some will refrain to light later and they'll always light at the same time, even Yom Tov Shechal Be weekday. That's point number one. But the other question, which is what you're addressing, is a very interesting one. Really, when would be the most, going back to Shabbos candles, when would it make the most sense to light, well, in terms of the bracha, to make the bracha of the Hadlik Ner Shel Shabbos, when would it make the most sense? Before or after lighting?
Well, you've got over last year, so.
Very good. So in line with the Shas rule and Klal and Yesod and concept, that is, every bracha that you make is to be over last year, which means, as the Gemara says in Psochim and in other places, you first make the bracha and then you do the mitzvah. We do that everywhere. Like in, right, we shakal the lulav last week, you make the bracha and then you shakal the lulav. You make alachilas matzah and then you eat the matzah. You're always going to make the bracha before fulfilling of the mitzvah. That's a rule and that's called over last year, so much so that it is always a big question, what happens if you actually make the bracha after fulfillment of the mitzvah. Now, when it comes to Shabbos candle, there is a problem. And we don't do that. Why not? We see all our wives, they light, and only after that they make the bracha. Why so? Because, what? How you make all Shabbos? So there is a minority opinion that holds, it's a mamash minority opinion, that holds that Yom Kippur Shabbos by reciting the bracha, which is mamash minority, but it's definitely not the pashtus. Pashtus Yom Kippur Shabbos without lock and not with the bracha. But there's a minority, difficult to understand opinion that holds, that you actually light, but you actually Yom Kippur Shabbos with the bracha. If that's true, then what happens is that by reciting the bracha, you actually Yom Kippur Shabbos, and then you are stuck because you can't light the candle at that stage anymore. Therefore, And consequently, what the women are makpid, because it's one of their mitzvahs that they are ultra makpid on. So therefore, they are choshish for this opinion. That's the way I heard from our Falk. So therefore, they are makpid on this opinion. And therefore, what they do is that they light, and only after that they recite the bracha. By the way, just as a footnote, when there is an instance that a man lights Shabbos candle, he will make the bracha, and then only after that. That's to make the bracha and that's the way men do it. It's quite rare, but that's, I think, that the way men do it. Pardon? I don't know about Sfadim. I don't know. Yeah, is that it?
No, because that's not.
Now there is. Oh, going to Leplug. Now, Lemaisa, by the way, just for us to know, you know, the women, they cover their eyes. Where does that come from, covering their eyes? They cover their eyes when they make the bracha. Where does that come from? That's also based on all that. It's all part of that sugya, because, I mean, challenge any woman to explain that, yeah? But the reason for that is because they want to, since they have lit already the candle, and now they don't want to benefit prior to making the bracha. So they have lit, now they're covering the eyes, not to have benefit from the light lit before making the bracha. That's where it comes from. Now you tell that to your wife, and she probably doesn't realize that's the reason she does it. But that is really why they cover their eyes. It's an ancient minhag. They could not to have any anah from the light before they make the bracha.
To be madlik or to be nene from.
No, of course the mitzvah is to be madlik. Of course, of course the mitzvah is to be madlik, but they also want to have that schus of not having anah. Right. Having said all that, we can now proceed and ask the question: what about Yom Tov candles? Our sugi over here. When and how? What's the best way of lighting Yom Tov candles? Do you first make a bracha and then light, or do you first light and then make a bracha? Question mark. Question mark. Question mark. Oh, Rabbi Kagan walks in with a geonische flow straight away comes up. It's a low plug, just like as we find. So let's get this clear. In principle, it makes little, or rather, no sense. Because really, what would make more sense when it comes to Yom Tov? What would in principle make more sense? Of course, you first, because there's no issa of lighting a neon Yom Tov, so therefore, right, that's how we cook, that's how we bake, that's how we make fires on Yom Tov, there's no problem, it's a tzorich Yom Tov, you can light. So therefore, Yom Tov would make more sense to make a bracha and then light, over
la siyosa.
And then you don't need to do any of your hand movements. So that would make much more sense when it comes to Yom Tov. And I believe, well, that there are women who do it like that. How does your wives do it like that? Check with their wives, because they... Emma's makes a lot of sense. However, that's where the Brisha quotes his mother. He said, no. No, Yom Tov, you probably did. Yom Tov, you probably. When does your wife light Yom Tov candles? Bisman. Ah, I see. Very good. Because a lot of women will only light. Yeah. So I remember years back. Oh, one second. Let me just finish this off. So there is a loy plug. Some others hold that there's a loy plug, and that's the discussion between the preacher's mother and the preacher himself, and other who go. He quotes his mother. Yeah, Lemaisa said there was a Bach, I think. The Bach was the one who was choylik on it. And he said that, and they said, no, it's a loy plug. Just like we did on Shabbos, that's the way we should do it on weekdays too. And on Yom Tov too. And that's Lemaisa. I think a lot of people, I remember when I got married, I went to that sugya, and I had, so I don't remember exactly what my chiddush was. There was a Rav Liashiv who was machmir or something like that. And then I remember I went to my Rav. I was mamash newly married. And I went to my Rav and I said, you know, my wife does like this, and perhaps it makes more sense to be makabit on that. It's nice chumrah. How should I do it? He looks into me and he looks into my eyes and he says, she should do it exactly the way her mother does it. That's it. He made such a reshim on me, of course. You want to be chumrah, she should do exactly the way her mother does it. think it says it was a good word. There is certainly the aspect of Lo Pluk. Now, what do you say? What do you want to say about when he comes on? What did you say when he's on?
Second day
what? You say because there is no Lo Pluk because of second day. Why would you say there's no Pluk?
Can't do this one like second day anyway.
Right. So the emphasis is I differentiate this shiny into two separate questions. And I think that's the way I presented it earlier. There's one question is when you light in terms of what time of the day do you light? Do you light when Yom Tov comes in, like you do when Shabbos comes in? Do you light then Yom Tov candles, which many women do? Or do you light just prior to the Suda, which many others do? And the rationale for that is because that's really, in principle, when it makes the most sense to light Yom Tov candles. Because even Shabbos candles really is the Tzorich Suda, Tzorich Yisof Onik Shabbos. And that's when it's dark. That's when you're going to eat and you need light for it. That's when it makes the most sense. Of course, when it comes to Shabbos, we can't do it that late because it's Shabbos already. When it comes to Yom Tov, maybe it would make more sense. That's why so many women do it like that. But you light it just before the Yom Tov Suda. But that's one question. And there is a discussion indeed. Do you say Lo Pluk or not? Or do you make it when it makes the most practical, when it makes more sense? Or do you say Lo Pluk like on Shabbos? Question number one. Question number two is, in terms of the bracha. And that's a slightly different question. Well, do you make the bracha before lighting or after lighting? And here, could be you would also say Lo Pluk, but it is a different question really. So that's lichorem, yeah.
Does it make a difference that we've got electric lights?
It does. There is an argument to say it, but how would you present that argument?
Because you've already got decent lighting without the candles. They're not really in. Maybe in times gone by, that was your ikar light.
Right. So that's very much Rav Eliashiv was bothered about it, and I believe that was my shaila then. Rav Eliashiv is bothered about that, and he says one should switch the lights off before lighting the candles. And I know I used to be very makabit on that. In my years, I've gone less thing about this. But there is certainly because taka, that you want to make the brocha on something which is on which, yeah. So what the Rav Eliashiv held that you should switch the lights off, and you should make
just
the brocha.
Just
yes, and then you light, and then you switch the lights on. And then on Yom Tov or Shabbos? Yeah. So on Shabbos, you'd make it just before lighting. You switch the lights off and then on, and then you light the Shabbos candles. And then you light the Shabbos candles and you make the bracha. So a woman would be doing as follows. On a Friday night, she switches the lights off, switches it on, and from there she lights the Shabbos candle and then she makes the bracha. That was Rav Eliashiv was quite bothered about that, and he felt that it's yes, the bracha would then go on the electricity as well. Yeah, yeah. So,
I mean, on the second day Yom Tov, there wouldn't be a problem. She can say Baruch Hamavdil
before,
and then she can like second day. Not before the second day Yom Tov.
No, before second day Yom Tov. Yeah.
As soon as it's second day Yom Tov,
yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, she could. Of course she could.
There's no problem with her lighting.
No. No. There's another interesting shaila. To what extent is the Shekhyonu connected to the lighting? Which is a very interesting discussion. For some reason, unknown reason perhaps, the Shekhyonu landed up by the lighting on Yom Tov. It remains a bit of an enigma and a bit of a mystery why the Shekhyonu ended up by the... We know we make Shekhyonu by Kiddush. And that makes a lot of sense because that's part of the Kedushas Hayoyim. We make, you know, that's the Yaknahaz famously that we did this Yom Tov. We'll be doing a few more times this year. Praise Hashem. The Shekhyonu goes with Kiddush. It's intrinsically connected with Kiddush. But how on earth did Shekhyonu land up at Lukas Neir? Tzorchin. Perhaps, but even there it's not so poshut. Yeah. So Lemaisa, there are poets going on. Chazanish, I believe, so I heard, Chazanish didn't like the idea of women saying Shekhyonu by Lukas Neir. And then even Rav Ozner's got a tshuva about this, and Rav Ozner questioned, he is bothered about the Hefsek Shiboy, because what happens is, that when a woman lights on Yom Tov and she makes her bracha and she makes subsequently Shechionu, what happens then is that she's been yoitza her obligation of Shechionu. Later on, the husband comes home and the husband makes Kiddush and he's going to make Shechionu again, and before he actually drinks the wine. What happens then is that she's going to recite, she's going to hear a Shechionu, she's going to say Omein, and the question is this Omein not a hefsek for her drinking of the wine? So it might be an hefsek because she's done a Shechionu already, and therefore she's been yoitza Shechionu already. How can she say Omein to a bracha which is not relevant to her? So Rav Ozner's got a tshuva about this. He said it's fine because it's the Shechionu of the husband, she's Omein to it, whatever. But this, that point comes up here again, that really how did Shechionu end up by the Hadlokas Ne'er? And don't, you know, we should, obviously shouldn't take it away from the women, but it's halachically and historically, but interesting how it ended up there. It's not so clear. Right, okay. But certainly if a man ever has the, if a man ever makes Hadlokas Ne'er, for whatever the reason may be, if a man makes a Hadlokas Ne'er, he should refrain from saying Shechionu b'Hadlokas Ne'er. Okay. And that leads us to the highlight of the evening. Rabbi Gitanke.
Friday night, after Shemoneh Esrei, we say Vayechulu, which is obviously from this week's parasha. We say the three psukim, Vayechulu Hashemayim v'aretz v'chol tzva'am. And the reason that we say it is we are testifying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Shemayim v'aretz, and it's a kind of edus, a kind of testimony that Hashem created, and we become a partner in the creation. So after we say Vayechulu, we say the Berachas Me'ein Sheva, and in Berachas Me'ein Sheva, we've got Mogin Avos. So there's two questions on Mogin Avos. Question number one is the minhag, because we know that in Moshul the Kehillah say it first and then the Chazan repeats it afterwards. In some Kehillahs, only the Chazan only says it himself. So the question is, is it just for the Chazan to say, or is it the Kehillah say it and then the Chazan? And the other question that we have is, when the Chazan says Baruch Ata Hashem, does he bend his knees and bow when he says, does he do that, or does he just say Baruch Ata Hashem standing straight? So we have to understand the reason for Mogin Avos. So the reason for Mogin Avos is because in a million years ago, as Rabbi Schneeberg would say, people used to daven in the fields out of town, and so if someone was late, then so the Gemara says it would be a sakana to leave someone in the fields. So therefore, so there's two pshatim in the sakana. Either the sakana is that the people who are late, so we say Mogin Avos after Shemoneh Esrei, so there'll be a delay, and therefore the people who come late will be able to catch up and everybody will be able to walk home together, rather than the people who are late walking home on their own, which would be the sakana. Huh? Could be, yeah. Also, Bar Medlikin, maybe. Some people say Bar Medlikin earlier. Yeah. Okay, that's also, you know, it's probably totally on the same thing. And that's Rashi's pshat. That's why we say Mogin Avos, so that it should be an extra delay. But according to the Vilna Gaon, the reason why we say Mogin Avos is kind of a delay. It's not a delay. It's more that the people who come late, they're now instead of them saying their own Shemoneh Esrei by the Chazan saying Baruch Ata Hashem Mekinik Evasinu Kevrom Keitzchak Yekod Mogin Avos, he's actually being moitzi those people, they're Shemoneh Esrei. So they don't need to say Shemoneh Esrei. It's being said for them by the Chazan. So now we can answer the two questions that we asked at the beginning. First question is, do the Kehillah say Mogin Avos before the Chazan? So according to Rashi, that we're trying to delay the whole thing at the end so that people can catch up, then it's good for the Kehillah to say it, that's one delay, and then the Chazan says it, there's a second delay. That's according to Rashi. So according to Rashi, the Kehillah do say it. But if you're a Vilna Gaonnik, then the Kehillah don't say it. And according to Rashi, who says that's just a delay, then when you say when the Chazan is Baruch Ata Hashem, he doesn't bend his knees because he's not being moitzi whoever's in the field. He's not being moitzi them. They're just catching up. According to Vilna Gaon, that the Chazan is being moitzi them, so that therefore the Chazan he has to bow, because he's being moitzi those people, for they're not saying Shemoneh Esrei themselves, they're being moitzi from him. It's like Shemoneh Esrei for them. So therefore, that's the chiluk between the two pshatim of the Rashi, of Rashi and the Goinim. So nowadays, it has not been moitzi, so therefore, yeah, probably not.
Never seen anybody
banned
now. Never seen that.
Yeah, on the way home. The way back. If they stay in shul when everyone's...
They all met the field and they went back to their mud huts.
Mazikin.
Why did they see me in the field?
Mazikin.
That's when they doubled. They didn't know. Boys since haven't turned to converse at the lemons, were still living in the house. They didn't have a...
Jonathan, I can't see you. Jonathan, put your camera on. Oh, that's better.
Did they have a building? No.
So that's the Matara.
Very nice, Shkoyer. Very good.
Shabbos.
Very nice. On Yom Kippur, they dove in the field. Friday night, they finish work and they dove in the field.
So it would be a bit of a steer at that then to both bow and have the
Peter. Yeah, good point.